Good morning. This is Tony Julian, and I'm the host of Tony Talks Radio. This is our very first podcast, and I am delighted to have this time with you while you are getting about your day. And over the next year, we are going to be sharing information about different aspects of our health, our wellness, of happiness, adversity, moving through life with grace. And in a perfect world, we know the things that we need to do, but you might have in the past asked yourself, why am I not doing it if I know what to do? Why not? Well, certain things can take us off track. We've all experienced that. We would be able to really stay at the top of our game and really stay motivated and focused if external factors didn't influence us. So we are going to be delving into nutrition, fitness, spirituality, sleep, embracing the strengths and the person that you are so that you can have vitality that you deserve and live life at the top of your game. One thing that I will promise you is that through this, I'm going to keep your best interests in the forefront of my thoughts and my comments. I'm going to be sharing insightful, thoughtful, hopefully inspirational and motivational topics with you so that you can recognize that you can have a strong mind, a strong body and spirit at any age. It is never too late to start. Back to life taking us off track. This weekend, I'm going to be heading to Vegas, and here I have this really great eating and workout regimen. But, you know, as you and I know, these external influences in life can derail us. So again, I know it's going to be really difficult to be able to stay on my eating regimen and on my workout regimen. I'm not going to be able to control my schedule as much as I would if I was at home. Other things that can get us derailed would be perhaps a sick parent or a wedding. And then we have our own demons, you might say, which relate more to self-sabotage. We might self-medicate. Our mind is super tricky. We can create excuses like, oh, I just had a couple of biscotti, you know, why is that? Well, over time, these habits, if you just do one thing, it's not bad for you. But if you take that one thing and it becomes a daily, a weekly habit, then those habits add up over time. Years ago, my papa, when he was working in a company, they had this vending machine, and he would leave his office and walk down the hall and go to that vending machine every day. And he started buying just a little, really small packet of peanuts. And he realized that over a few weeks or a month is that he started putting on weight. And then he realized, oh, it's just that one little thing that I did each day. So those little habits can add up over time. And those small habits, and what is my philosophy, is that we need to turn those around and incorporate some healthy changes. So when you make a change, it's not some restrictive, difficult diet to follow, but it's a small incremental change because only then will it be sustainable. We've all tried to go on certain eating regimens, whether it's to lose weight or just to be healthier, or to avoid certain things because we know it's not good for us. But sometimes if those regimens or plans are too restrictive and we do it all at once or we try to accomplish too much at once, it's just not sustainable. We know that. And then, you know, if we fall off the wagon, so to speak, we think we failed. Oh, I didn't do things exactly to plan, so therefore I didn't do a good job with that, and so I have failed. And I give up. It's really not about being perfect all the time. It's about incorporating small habits that are healthy that becomes your lifestyle. My philosophy has always been a new behavior becomes a habit over time. That habit becomes your lifestyle and then even your preference, most likely. So I can give you an example is that I stopped salting my food or cut way back on it. And I never did it too much, but it really allowed me to start tasting foods better. Now, a chef will argue with me about that because salt does bring out the flavor of food. But on the flip side of it, if you do too much of something, your taste buds are going to adjust to that overuse of salt. And that will make things like biting into a juicy apple taste not as great, right? If you can reduce that one habit, then all of a sudden, that's your lifestyle and even your preference. Because I cut back on the salt, when I went to a restaurant and I ate, it was so salty. It was just not even palatable to me. It just destroyed the food because the chefs put so much salt in it that I just couldn't even really tolerate it anymore. So what we're going to focus on over this next year is developing new habits that can become your lifestyle and your preference. My purpose in life is to lift people up, and that's it. I am not monetarily compensated. I simply want to share what I know with you. And I'm going to talk to you like a friend or a sister or a brother that I believe you are. And there's only one thing that I ask of you, and that is don't take everyone's advice at face value. And that includes mine. Take in the information, whether it's here or it's elsewhere, and be discerning. Because we are all bombarded with information, and it takes time to educate ourselves. It takes time to understand our body and understand what's right for us. So what I'm asking of you is, and letting you know that what I believe is that only you know what's right for you. You can talk to an expert about something. For example, a nutritionist might say, you need to incorporate ginger into your diet because it will help with your immune system. It's a great anti-inflammatory. It'll aid with digestion. It'll help with nausea. Yes, those things are true for most people. You may or may not be most people, so you need to see if that's really going to work for you. And the reason I bring this up is that you could have a food sensitivity to ginger. In which case it will cause inflammation, it will cause bloating, it will cause digestive upset. So what I am asking you to do is be discerning, get to know your own body, test yourself, journal, like do what you need to do and learn because nobody knows you like you know yourself. Now, you spend a lot of time, as I do, taking care of the house, taking care of the children if we have them, our pets, our schools, our businesses, our community. I am a serial entrepreneur, as some of you may be as well. And if you think about it, we get a lot of information about other things that really are like less important. So I'll give you an example. The printer that you own, it comes with a user's manual. You know what to do. You know that you need to restock the paper. You need to replace cartridges. You need to calibrate it. You need to dust it off, right? There are lots of things we need to do to keep our printer well. It needs to be plugged in so it has electricity. It may be wirelessly connected. So there are all these other things you need to do to keep your printer functioning smoothly. But what happens when it runs out of paper or it doesn't have ink? It's going to malfunction. We sometimes spend more time learning how to do things to fix the sprinkler systems or with our computers or do whatever else there is in life. We'll learn about it, but we don't always take the time to learn about our bodies and ourselves. We have such an opportunity to really enhance our spirits, our minds, our bodies, our overall wellness, and everything is connected. There isn't any one thing. So I don't want to pigeon myself into a hole and just tell you I'm going to talk about sleep and nutrition and fitness. I want to talk to you about deeper subjects, which is why I'm doing this podcast, because I want to delve deep into things that really can help you reflect on how you can make these small, sustainable changes to lift yourself up. Our bodies, our human bodies, are amazing. If you think about how they work, even just our eyes, our vision with the rods and the cones and our DNA, and we are just so resilient and strong and frail at the same time, and life is so frail. There is no user's manual for us. So back to this, we have to be the best judges, educate ourselves, seek information, and discern. You may have a neighbor who may give you some advice, and you may go to an expert who may give you some advice, and your neighbor may be spot on, and that expert can be way off because they may or may not know you. And chances are an expert is, of course, educated, but You know, you have to think about where they're coming from. So if you go to a doctor and you have back pain, and that doctor, all they do is steroid injections or procedures in through your spine, through your neuroforamen to give you steroids to calm your back down, and that's all they do, well, that's what they're going to tell you to do if you have back pain. So what I am saying is check out other sources. There's not always one treatment for something. There's not always one test for something. And our bodies may respond to something that someone else's body does not. We may have an idiosyncratic reaction, which is everybody else responds to this particular thing one way, but you're going to respond differently. So just know that with all this information, is that what I want to do is help give you some insights and different ways of looking at things so that you can be discerning. So that maybe you look at something a slightly different way and maybe that's your solution. Maybe it's not, but let's talk about it. So I just want to make sure you understand that I will always keep your best interests at heart. I do not profess to know everything. If anybody ever tells you that, they're wrong. There are a lot of people in this world, they want a podcast, they want to be on television, they want to be heard, and sometimes that's just about them. But just know I will always have your best interest at heart. I will always ask you to do your own research, come up with your own decisions. Do not be influenced by people who are motivated to sell you something, who have their own agendas. Like really, really think outside of the box about that. I have, last week, I turned 60, and I'm sharing that with you because the topics that I want to talk about are ideal for people of absolutely any age, whether you're a 15-year-old young girl, whether you're a 25-year-old football player, it doesn't matter, whether you're an aging person, whether you're 80 years old, habits and behaviors that when you're younger, that you get away with, may no longer work for you. They do add up. So these habits that I'm going to be talking about become of increasing importance as you get older. Our hormones change and suddenly, again, you may not be in the body that you had 10 or 20 years ago. You might have food intolerances that you're not aware of. Maybe you have menopausal symptoms. Maybe you are overweight or just deconditioned, or maybe you just feel like crap because you've not taken care of yourselves at the level that you need to. Your body may have inflammation. You may have physical pain. You may have emotional pain. You may have gone through things in your life, and at some point I will share some of the things that I've been through that are real hurdles. So I think that we can get through some of these things with grace. Absolutely. My background to share with you why I got into the field of health and wellness is because I had a very, very lucrative career. I owned a marketing communications firm. I did very well. I managed trade shows based here in Silicon Valley. I had the first company that managed trade shows and conferences and special events in the Valley. Most corporations back then had their own internal people that did it. But I started a business. It became very, very lucrative, very successful. But I just really wasn't fulfilled in that. I felt like I needed more of an artistic expression of what I do. People became increasingly more important to me. And I was realizing that I really want to help people feel good in their environments, how they represent themselves, how they show up in the world. And so I just felt increasingly off my path and not like I was doing the right thing. I got into the health field when I was 48. And it was because I had a really, really good friend, and her name, I will refer to her in the present, even though she's passed, because I don't really feel all our spirits really just completely poof, go away. But my friend Barbara Wyman's son, she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer when she was 48. And I was diagnosed with an early stage aggressive pre-cervical cancer. Back then, my history with Barbara went far back. We met when we were 11 years old, And I was just this kid that moved to Morgan Hill on this acre with two of every type of animal that there is out there. And I, first person I met was Barbara, and she was tall and blonde and kind and had the most beautiful hazel eyes with long eyelashes. And what I loved about her, her spirit, she just absolutely accepted me for who I was. And I hadn't experienced that before. And so we just learned to be just the best of friends. And she just made me feel so accepted for the shy kid that I was at 11. We went through high school together and college, and we had children at the same time. So we led very, very parallel lives. She was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and I'll never forget, she left a message on my answering machine saying that she was having health issues. And I was just caught up in my work and going a mile a minute. And I went over to see her, and she explained to me that she had pancreatic cancer. And I just didn't even know what that was or what the depths of that really meant. And I helped her some, best I knew how to do at the time. And she survived for 17 months, which is way over the anticipated outcome. And I believe at that point in time, it was, the survival rate was 1 year, and she survived longer than that, which was a blessing. But it really, when she passed, and I was with her at the time and with her eight and I believe 12-year-old at the time, somewhere around there, it shook me to my core. And I just vowed that what I wanted to do for a living here on out had to impact people. The very next day, I was scheduled for a trip to Italy with my husband and our youngest daughter. And so I was on a plane and, you know, just devastated, sad that I had lost really my best friend and the first person who I felt just unconditionally loved me. But we were in Italy, and as we were going through the cities, I sought out every church that I could find. And in each church, most people went to look around the, you know, the nave and the art. And I went into the areas where you could pray. And I said a prayer for Barb, and I just asked God to please show me a way where I could take this situation and turn it into some good. And I really wasn't sure what that looked like. I thought maybe I could help perhaps start a nonprofit and help children who had lost parents to recreate their bedrooms into some beautiful place where they could feel safe and it could be what they wanted it to be. That idea didn't work out very well because, you know, these families are grieving. And so that's really the last thing they want is somebody in their home trying to make changes. But that is why I got into the health field, is that people around me started becoming sick. And I realized there's got to be some way to turn this around. And what is it that's causing us to be sick? What is it in our society that is creating issues where we have colds and viruses and cancers and disease and obesity? I thought, I am going to work on myself because, you know, I, after surgery, was fine from my diagnosis of pre-cervical cancer. But my friend had no real chance of surviving what she was diagnosed with. So I thought, I have to turn this into something good. I just have to. So I started looking into making changes in my life and was realizing that in order to incorporate them, they had to be sustainable. They had to be things that I could do simply and quickly and not overwhelm myself so that I could be in the best possible position to be successful. And again, going back to diets that are not sustainable, if you try to do too much at once, we're just not going to feel successful. We're going to feel like we failed if we went, you know, if we kind of went off the wagon for a night, or we ate something or put something in our mouths that wasn't right for us. And that's not what it should be about. It should be about making lifestyle changes that we feel good about. We need to embrace our bodies for what they are and the God-given, amazing, amazing bodies that we have that house our beautiful, bright spirits, and literally love ourselves It makes a difference. Our thoughts, the things we think about ourselves, and this is an entirely different topic, so I'm not going to go off topic on a tangent here, but we really need to care for ourselves and be kind to ourselves in this process. There is just so much that we can do and learn and grow. And I ask of you to think of this as a journey for yourselves. You may have highs, you may have lows. In fact, I know you do because I do, and we are human, is that we go through periods of learning and growth and sometimes stagnation and more learning and growth. And hopefully we learn from our experiences. I would love to, at this point, just share a little bit of my background with you, because I know that some of you know me, some of you may be new to getting to know each other here. And I've explained why I got into this health field is to really make an impact. But my background is, once I got through that experience losing my friend, I completely changed my life. I started with making my own sustainable lifestyle changes. And to be healthy, I turned into, frankly, a little bit of a nutrition and fitness geek freak, I'll call it. And I got my personal training certification through the National Academy of Sports Medicine, and also Nutrition Cert and Sports Nutrition Certification. I went on to write my first book called Bite Me, Change Your Life One Bite at a Time, that goes into basically all the different aspects of nutrition. I changed my body composition from about 30% body fat at 48 years old, and I brought it down to 18% in 8 weeks. I lost 14 pounds of fat, and I gained 6 pounds of muscle. Did this by doing resistance training 4 days a week, and then for an hour. And then also I did some other training as far as just hikes and walks and cardio about 3 hours a week. So 7 hours a week of movement, training, building muscle. And then I dialed in my diet. And I literally wanted to learn about myself. So I wrote down every single thing that I ate. So every cup of water, every bite of chicken, every bite of vegetable, I weighed it, I measured it. I could predict very accurately how much I was going to lose each week, how much fat, based on my journaling. And journaling is really important. I'll get into that into another episode. But it is so important to be able to learn what it is that you're trying to learn about your own specific body. And you could look at habits and behaviors and say, oh, that worked for me and that didn't. So that I wrote that first book based on the premise of eating for balanced blood sugar. And again, I'll go into that later, but it's really balanced macros to stay full so you are satiated and your hormones work optimally. You can build muscle, lose fat, and improve your body composition. So I ended up doing a figure competition at age 48, 49, somewhere in there. I think it was 49. And it was definitely a natural figure competition. I did my training, ate healthily. I tied for first in the sports model category against 20-year-olds, and I was close to 50. So my point here is that you can make changes at any age. That's not young. And to go against 20-year-olds was amazing for me. And that competition taught me, number one, that I can go out of my box. I was so shy, like as a kid, and I was very, very uncomfortable being in a little bikini and stilettos on a stage. Oh my goodness, what a huge change that was. My legs were shaking. I was so nervous and so uncomfortable. And to be my age and going against people that really never were overweight in their lives, they were just trying to have this perfect body. And for me, I didn't do it because, look, I wanted to see that I could be on stage. It wasn't that at all. It was, I had just become healthy again. I overcame early stage cervical cancer. I had surgery. I was well. This was, gee, what can I do? What's the icing here? How can I learn about my body? And there's nothing like knowing that you're going to be on stage in a bikini close to 50 and really wanting to stay on your eating regimen. there was nothing more motivating than saying, I'm going to be up in front of a lot of people being judged. How hard is that? So as uncomfortable as that was, I'm so glad I did it. In fact, I did another one. I followed up and I think I took second in figure. So it was a great experience for me. It's off my bucket list now. So I am not being boastful. I just want to share with you my background so you have some frame of reference of where I'm coming from. And that is really, really understanding body composition. I went on to start a fitness program. It was for women at a local park. And I did that for 12 years, three mornings a week. I taught women how to improve their body composition, how to be strong. After I got my personal training certification, I started that and loved this group of women. I stopped it last year after 12 years, just feeling pulled in a direction to make a greater impact and also to focus a little bit more on my own health. And it was just a wonderful experience. These women were amazing. And they're still my friends. They're still beautiful people, of course. But I started making some changes to my life about a year ago. I wrote a second book, and I wrote this because you're not looking at me now, but I am a very white girl. So I am Italian, but my mother was blue-eyed, very pale white skin. And somehow between the two of my parents, I turned out to have very, very, very pale skin and prone to overexposure to the sun. And I did end up getting skin cancer a year ago. So this was August of 2018. I was diagnosed with melanoma, which if you don't know, is the kind that actually spreads through your body. So it was a little bit frightening. I went on to have a few surgeries, lymph nodes removed. Thanks to the blessings of God, I was able to eradicate it through surgery. And so that is no more, but that did force me to look a little bit more closely at how I was spending my time and really wanting to make a bigger impact. So when I was diagnosed August 2nd, I had surgery. And right after that, I knew I wanted to write a book, actually prior to that, my second book. And I knew I wanted to specifically talk to women because I did turn 60 and because there are so many things that are specific to women. That woman may inspire a girlfriend. She may inspire her husband, her children. She has a lot of influence and women will reach out and share. It's not that men don't. I'm not saying that. But women will take what they learn and they will apply it to many aspects of their lives, being the nurturing people that not all of them, I know I'm generalizing, but that some of them are. So I wrote the book. It's called Smart, Fit, and Female. It's the busy woman's blueprint to looking and feeling 10 years younger. I literally sat down at my kitchen counter for 3 weeks. And prior to me knowing that I had the melanoma, I knew what I wanted to say. I knew the title. I knew the content. I just needed to make it happen. So I sat at my kitchen counter. 3 weeks, my husband would leave in the morning for work, and I would be at that kitchen counter, and we came home. 12 hours later, I was still sitting there, and I ended up writing the book and launching it on Amazon. It is an excellent book. It's an excellent read for under $20. What I go into is the top three categories in our lives where you can make the greatest impact because you're busy, right? Yes, so am I. So do I want to read a really long book? No, I don't. So I took things that are in many categories of our lives, from embracing your femininity to sleep to nutrition, fitness, spirituality, and taking those different aspects and hitting the top three things in each one of those categories that I think would have a big impact. And I literally, when I wrote it, I just sat down and I thought, oh, I'll just write this for my girlfriends. So I pictured some in mind, but all the people that had been around me that had asked me questions, and I thought, what is it in their lives that would have the biggest impact? So that's what I wrote. The book turned out to be something that I am really proud of. as I grow and learn, you know, I'm sure I have more books in me, but the more I learn, the more I want to write. And I look back at my first book, which was Bite Me, Change Your Life One Bite at a Time. That book was good, but I look back now, I'm like, oh, I know so much more since then. I've learned so much more. I've grown so much more. The book was really focused on nutrition, like really boiling that down and helping people with body composition. So now I'm at this point where I have two books under my belt. I've done a lot of speaking engagements. I was the proud recipient of the Silicon Valley Business Journal's Top Woman of Influence just this last year. And I was very honored to be that recipient. It was awarded to me for my work, not just only in the community, but work within my family and with nonprofits. For my community, I mentioned my fitness program, and nobody really knew it at the time. But if there was a woman who needed lifting up, say she was going through depression or divorce or financial hard times, I would sponsor them. And I'd have them come work out with us, which was a really safe, wonderful, positive, great energy environment, and would just sponsor them. So in other words, do it for free, invite them, and help lift them up and help them go through their difficult, challenging times. And then I also took care of a terminal parent, my father, who was sick for 5 years. And I know in some future episode, I will talk about him as well. But I learned so much about helping somebody age and transition with dignity the best I could. We had our scuffles and our disagreements, but overall, I feel really blessed to have been able to be by my father for 5 years to the weekend and help him. I just learned so much as far as patience and helping when he wanted help. And you know, it's never easy when you have children and an aging parent and you're in the middle, kind of pulled between the two. So that is a life experience that I do want to delve into deeper in the future. But I have been through many different things, from childhood trauma, being domestically terrorized as a kid, our family was, and I will go into that, through divorce, sicknesses, through cancer, through losing people close to me. So many things in life, right? Coming full circle. When we talk about lifting ourselves up and doing things that are good for us and having regimens, we can't be hard on ourselves. I used to be so hard on myself and so critical. And I always told people, you don't have to say anything to me. I'm harder on myself than anybody else ever thought about being. And that was so true. I still have remnants of that perfectionism nature in me. And that's what helped me get to where I am. But sometimes we need to lose things that do not serve us. So I share this with you because I want you to know that I've been through a lot. And it is hard to stay on task. It is hard to lift ourselves up and take care of ourselves the way we need to. And I'm human. I need improvement too. But what I am wanting is for you and I to be able to inspire each other and lift each other up, because the better we take care of ourselves, better we can lift people up around us in our community, the better we can make impact in our world for a better world. We just need to do better. Like, we need to get rid of divisiveness in our world. We need to get rid of judgment. There are so many things. So I'm going to be sharing those things with you so that you can stay at the top of your game to the best of your ability. Hopefully, the things that we talk about will either validate what you already know, give you insights into new ways of thinking, or give you new information that you can adopt and do be discerning. Because back to this, you know yourself best. But I would love to be here to support you, to help lift you up, and to help you be your very best version of yourself. And I know that's a little bit of a cliche, but really, we all just need to be on this journey together so we can improve where we are. All right, so I think that is probably enough for one day. I'm really happy to get to know you. If you have topics that you're interested in, please email them to me at info@tonijulian.com. That's info@tonijulian.com. I would love to know what is on your mind, what you would like me to talk about or share with you. I appreciate you being on this journey with me. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you being my brother or sister. We are all connected, folks. We really are. Just know that I am sending you prayers, healthy healing, and love and hugs from me to you. Until next time.